Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Samach Beis. We're starting at the very, very top of the Omid. You'll recall at the end of yesterday's daf, the Gemara told us that Rabba feared sich like Rabbi Akiva. In other words, he conducted himself in accordance with the view of Rabbi Akiva, that the inyan of making sure to have your bathroom properly aligned so that there should not be a problem with any exposure of those parts of the body that are normally covered, when they are uncovered, when a person goes to use the facilities, when he goes to use the bathroom, to avoid that issue, Rabba holds like Rabbi Akiva. He lived in Bavel. Bavel is to the north of Eretz Yisrael. He was careful that his bathroom was aligned Mizrach Lamarav, from east to west, and not from north to south. And in fact, the Gemara told us that Abaye wanted to test out Rabba and see whether the fact that he set up the bathroom in that way was that dafka, that was totally intentional, premeditated, or no, that just so happens to be that way. And what did he do? He went and switched around, so to speak, the toilet seat. How did he switch it around? By turning it, instead of from Mizrach Lamarav, Tzofin to Dorim. There were no toilet seats, so the Gemara refers to Livni, bricks that had been set up in that way. He switched it around, and afterwards Rabba came into the bathroom, he saw what happened, he fixed it back in place, and he said, who's the one that's causing me all these tzuras? I hold Rabbi Akiva. We see from this that Talmidim really want to know how the Rebbe's Hamzakifiyat, not only what they say in their drushes and their shiurim, but what did they do halacha l'maisa. The Gemara is going to give us now what seems to be some examples, some extreme examples of what Talmidim did, to go and see how their Rebbe Fiesach. Fiesach means how did he conduct himself.
So, how did Rabbi Akiva hold regarding the toilet?
Rabbi Akiva said that the halacha is b'chol mokim. B'chol mokim means not only in Eretz Yisrael, make sure that the bathroom is properly aligned so that you don't in any way offend the Beis HaMikdash or the Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash, but even if you live out in Bavel, which is many, many, many miles away, and from where you're sitting in Bavel, it's impossible to go and see the Beis HaMikdash. Nevertheless, make sure that your bathroom is aligned properly.
We are talking about the time that the Beis HaMikdash was
in Kayim,
time of the
Baishe. The Baish was no longer around. We had a machloikis yesterday whether this halach applies nowadays when the Beis HaMikdash unfortunately has not yet been rebuilt. True, but Rabbi Akiva held that even in his day and age, when there was no Beis HaMikdash, one still has to be very careful about how one goes and uses the facilities, that you should be properly aligned, so it should not be offensive in any way to the Beis HaMikdash.
When we mechaven ourselves for davening, or mechaven ourselves towards where the former Beis HaMikdash was standing, or your shlain?
I think both, in a sense that... Has it turned off? Okay, it's good. Fine, if you're happy, I'm happy. Anyway, it's both, because the Beis HaMikdash is in Yerushalayim, fine. And so when you are turning towards the Beis HaMikdash, you're turning towards Yerushalayim. They're both in the Mizrach from where we are. It's really southeast, it's not just directly east, but it's certainly east of where we are. Tani Umar Bekiva. One time I followed Rabbi Yeshua into the Beis HaKisei, into the bathroom. And Lamanti Memeno Gimel Tvom, I learned from him three things. Remember, Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Rabbi Yeshua. He's also Talmud of Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Akiva, when he became... Yes, is that correct?
And also Nachum Ishkanzer.
And can you think of any 12 other people that he was a Talmud of?
Those are the three biggies.
Okay, good. So for our purposes, he went and he followed Rabbi Yeshua into the basic Kisei. Lamanti Memeno, and I learned from him, Gimel Tvom, three things. Lamanti, number one, She'ein Nifnin Mizruch Umarev Eletzafim Vedarim. Even though we happen to be out here in the Budaks, we happen to be in Bavel, we're not in Eretz Yisrael, we're not in Yerushalayim, we're not in the Ir Atika. Nevertheless, we have to be careful, even in Bavel, not to align our bathrooms in such a way that we should go and offend, chas v'sholem, the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash.
Why Mizrach and Ma'arev? Why not only avoid Mizrach? Why do I have to avoid Mizrach and Ma'arev?
I'm not sure what you mean. If you live, for instance, in Yerushalayim or in Yehuda, and you are now...
I cannot face Mizrach.
Right.
Ma'arev, why shouldn't I be able to face? I mean, Ma'arev is not Mizrach. It's not...
When the Gemara is referring to Mizrach and Ma'arev, it's really referring to how the person is aligning the bathroom, in which direction.
Yeah.
And the reason why they say Mizrach to Maariv instead of just say Mizrach, as you're saying, because when a person exposes himself, when the person goes to the bathroom, he exposes himself both from the front and from the back.
Uh-huh.
And so therefore, regardless of whether he's sitting towards the base Mikdash,
so
or sitting the other way.
One shot.
Okay. You're very welcome. So that was number one. Don't go and expose yourself standing. In other words, when you're about to crouch and sit down for purposes of defecating, then one should go and undress oneself, unclothe oneself sitting. In other words, try to minimize the amount of pritzus. That when a person wipes himself at the end of going to the bathroom, you should not wipe with the right hand, you should wipe with the left hand. What's the reason for that? The Gemara is going to give us five reasons in Mi'at Hashem in another 10 lines or so. So this is what Rabbi Shua learned from Rav Akiva. Ben Azai said to him, I'm sorry, this is what Rabbi Akiva learned from Rabbi Yeshua. Says the Gemara, Omli Ben Azai, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, apparently not only a Talmud, but a Talmud Chover, said to Rabbi Akiva, Ad kan he asked Benecha Barabcha, come on, I don't understand. You go into the bathroom after you're a Rabbi, is that proper? Is that appropriate? Is that covered? Omli Toyra Ibn in Tzorach. I have to know Hilchus Torah, and I have to know Hilchus Basic Yisei. I gotta know it. I gotta learn it. So therefore, Torah Hivim Lemon Tzitzach. And the Gemara tells us now, ironically, the Tanya Ben Azai Oimer, the same Ben Azai who was somewhat critical of his Rebbe Rebbe Kiva, Ben Azai Oimer Pam Achas Achlasi Acher Rebbe Kiva Basic Yisei. I now followed in his footsteps, days, weeks, months, years later, to see what Rabbi Akiva does in the basic kisim. L'mati menekim u'dvar. L'mati she'enif m'mizuch amar about tzafim v'dar. L'mati she'enif ram m'mumin elam yushim. L'mati she'enikamchem yimin ela b'ismail. The very same three halachas. And again, Omaloi Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda now, who was a Talmud of Ben Azai, we keep on going now generations. Akani Yasin Panecha Berabcha. Is that right? Isn't that Ashtikal Ha'oz's Panam? That's Ashtikal Chutzbet. Omaloi Toyre Hiva Lilman Anitzach. Okay, so the stories obviously are virtually identical. The question on this Gemara is, since Ben Azai had already heard from Reb Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva had witnessed. So he knew already, so why did he have to go as well and follow Rabbi Akiva into the Biskisei? He already heard the whole story, he already learned the daf. What's going on over here? So the Mefarshim explain this in one of two ways. Some of the Mefarshim explain is, as we know, very often the Gemara says that something is halacha v'loy l'maisa. In other words, you hear a drasha, you hear a shir, the halacha is X, Y, Z. But when it comes actually l'maisa, then there may be other considerations, maybe other things may have an effect on the actual psak. So even though Ben Azai heard the story and heard all about what Rabbi Akiva said about Rabbi Yeshua, but he didn't actually see it with his own eyes. He wanted to see halacha l'maisa, that his Rebbe is continuing and that same tradition following what he saw back in what Rabbi Yeshua had done. So that's number one. And number two, the Gemara says elsewhere that Godel Shimusha Yoyse Medimuda, that when it comes to halacha, it's not enough just to hear. It's actually, you have to visualize, you have to see it with your own eyes, you have to be Meshamish, your Rebbe, and this is the way he would be Meshamish him, and you'll pardon the pun, but there was Shimush here in the Beit Shimush, that he was able to go and see what the Rebbe did in the Beit Shimush in the basic. He said to know how one fearsach, how one should go halacha l'maisa. Now the fact that it says at the very top of the Amid in both cases that ein nifnin mizrach l'marav ela tzofim v'doraim is obvious. What's the reason? Says Rashi, because ubi Yehuda hava, they were sitting, they were living in Yehuda, meaning in the region where the Beis Hamikdash was and Mi'at Hashem will soon be rebuilt in Yerushalayim, in the middle of Yehuda. So therefore in Yehuda they had to be careful not to have either their face or their back facing Beis Hamikdash, but rather they had to be either higher to the north or to the south, not in the direction. Even if they would be living in Yehuda directly north of the Beis Hamikdash, then it would be problematic. Then they couldn't live, they couldn't have the bathroom tzafin v'darim. We're talking about if they were to the east of the Beis Hamikdash or to the west of the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore the bathroom was aligned in a perpendicular fashion, not parallel, but the other direction, so that's like a machitz on both sides, and therefore there wouldn't be the exposure of their own body parts to Yerushalayim when they had to go to bath. And now the Gemara goes one step further, and this maisa is really hard to understand on the surface, but of course, remember we're talking about Kedoshi Elyon, we're talking about Tanoim and Amayroim, or on the highest Madrega. But the Gemara says that Im Rishonim Kemalochim Onu Kivnei Adam, Vim Rishonim Kemene Adam Onu Kachamoyrim. The Poshup Shat, and that is that if you think about the Tanoim and Amayroim, I'm sorry? Exactly. The Gemara is saying that if a person happens to be the Rishonim of here, of course, we're not talking about the Rambam and the Rashi, we're talking about the Tanam and Miroim, if they are deemed to be on the status of Malachim, then we low guys, we happen to be in the status of Bnei Adam. If, however, if they are considered to be Bnei Adam, then we are like Chamayim. So there's a gloss on that, where the Mefarshim say that it depends on your perspective. If you look upon the Tanum HaMiroim as Malachim, then you're a mensch. If you look upon them as being mentioned, then you yourself happen to be a Chamar. Because these are people that are above the radar screen. We have no idea. We can't even get close to a concept of how great and how holy they were. So with that introduction, the Gemara says, Rav Kahana, Ol, Gona Tuse Puriyad Rav. Rav was about to be Meshamish Mita with his wife, and Rav Kahana went and slept, or he lay on the ground underneath the bed of Rav. Shami, he heard his Rebbe Rav, the Soch, the Sochak, the Osetz Rochav, that he was talking, and then he was in a good mood, so to speak, the Osetz Rochav, and then afterwards he was Meshamish Mita, he lived together with his wife. It's Omalei. After that, Rav Kahana said to his Rebbe, Domi Pume Di Abba, Kidulei Sorev Tafshila. You went and lived with your wife, it sounded like you had a very great urge, a very great craving, can we serve tashila, as if you had not eaten. In other words, just like when a person who hasn't eaten for 3 days and he goes and eats, he has a very great appetite. To me, it sounded like you had a very great appetite when you lived together with your wife. Amalei, Rav was a little bit offended, and he said, Kahana, hochat, you're even here following me. Maybe you follow me in this medish, you follow wherever I go. Follow me even to the basic kise, but even into the bedroom. Come on, poik, aros, get out. It's not a derech eretz. Amalei Rav Kahana said, what can I do? I just learned the previous Gemaras. I have to know halacha lemaisa, one has to do X, Y, and Z. Now, let's get back to the third of the three halachas, the three hanhogos that Rabbi Akiva witnessed when he was there with Rabbi Yeshua, and that Ben Azay witnessed when he was together with Rabbi Akiva, that the third hanhoga was, Ein mekamcha b'yamin, Ella Bismart. You're supposed to use your left hand to go and clean yourself, wipe yourself at the end. And what's the reason why? Ella Bismart. What's the Indian? Because the Torah was given by Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyachal Biyamin. Shenema Miminoi Eish Dos Lamai. So when the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Eish Dos Lamai, that means the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Torah. The word Dos Lamai is the same Oisiois as Talmud. If you take the Dalet from the Dos Lamai, put the Dalet at the end, you'll see then the two words together are Talmud. Talmud meaning, of course, the Hebrew Torah. Miminoi, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him Miminoi from his right hand. Since Kodesh Baruch Hu gave with his right hand, when we clean ourselves, we don't use the right hand, we use the left hand. For sanitary reasons, you don't want to chas v'sholem get problems with the coronavirus or any other type of germ or bacteria, and so therefore don't go and wipe yourself with the right hand, and then you may have some schmutz still on your fingertips, because after that you're going to eat your food with the same hand, and chalila there could be germs, bacteria, etc., etc., and that's why you should always wash the tefillin sidayim and sanitizers and all the rest. I mean, to me, the whole thing is such a double portion. When a person goes to the basic kisa, you come out, you go and wash your hands. But for years and years, when I was going to the office, and you have the public bathrooms, you'd be surprised how many of the non-from Eden, or the Habdul Goyim, after they finish whatever they're doing inside, they come out, they don't even bother washing their hands at the sink. To me, it's unbelievable. Besides the halacha, but of course from a normal, from etiquette perspective, and from hygiene perspective, and health perspective, yeah, like, what's the anyway?
We have water in a lot of places, and quite, you know, it wasn't like today.
I'm not criticizing the here in the office, there's tons of water, and there's plenty of towels, and there's soap, and there's liquid soap, and this type of soap, ala gutzachin, and they just don't bother using them, they just go out.
Especially, yeah. Noticeable.
You know, you've noticed
coming out, and
yeah, Okay, anyway, so that's the reason why you don't use the right hand, because it's craving the pet. Another ribishim and lokish, because every day you go and put the tefillin. In other words, you put the tefillin on the left hand. And how do you go and do it? You wrap it around with the right hand. So since that right hand is involved in being kosher the tefillin. So of course there are people that ask, but the tefillin is put on the left hand, so the left hand you also shouldn't be able to use. And the answer is because you put the tefillin on the zroya, meaning on the arm. Not that you go and put the final ritzus at the end around the fingers, that's more of a minig than the halacha. So the key over there is you're putting it on the arm. How will you kosher it on the left arm? By using the right hand. It's the hand that you're using for kinuach, you don't use the arm for kinuach. So therefore the right hand is the one that is quote-unquote disqualified for that reason. Because people used to go and show the tamim. Tamim means the trop in the Sefer Torah with the right hand. Now what does that mean that they use the right hand for the trump? So Rashi has a long explanation which seems to be two tamim together. If you look at the Rashi starting on the third line, tamei Torah, onto the fourth line from the top, neginois tamei mikra shel Torah neviim uksuvim. Neginois means the trump that we use for laning, not only for laning from the Torah, but if a person is reading from the Tanakh, for instance, Av Torah, or Stam, he happens to be learning the Vim Aksuvim and he wants to say the Tami Amikra. Bein Menikut Shebis Sefer, Sai when the Kudois are in the Sefer. So when Rashi is saying Bein Menikut Shebis Sefer, Rashi is doing a giveaway. We're not talking about in a Sefer Torah, we're talking about when a person has, for instance, a Chumash or a Tanakh that has Nekudois and or the Trop in it, because you're not allowed to go and put, if you were to go and write a Sefer Torah with a trup in it, with a Mapach Pashta and the Pozer and the Kama Viazla, that would passel the Sefer Torah. So obviously we're not talking about a real Sefer Torah. Anyway, we're talking about Nach, which is anyway not a Sefer Torah. But the point is we're talking about a Chumash or a Tanakh where a person has that. So he is reading it and he's pointing to it, Bein Bag Boas Koil, by saying it out loud, and the imus and the anagina, and he's saying it with the way that we normally would sing it with the nigan, shal pashta vidarga b'shoifra mahapach. Those are the names of the trup. So moilach yod lefi tam hanagina. As he is doing that, he is also showing his hand. In other words, imagine you have a Bal Koyre who's reading from the Sefer Torah, and when it comes Pozer, he's taking his hand going Pozer, and he's showing with his hand how it goes all the way up, and he's Mara the Tami Hanagina. Says Rashi, that's what I saw Bali Kriya coming from Eretz Yisrael. They used to go and do that. That when they would lane, if it would be a Kadma Ba'azla, they would go and make with the fingers like the form of the Kadma Ba'azla, and so on and so forth. And in fact, you see it today in this Mismedish and many other Bata Midrashim, where the Gabbai goes and gives signals, shows how you do the Tami HaMikra, and if he does a good job and the Balkoria knows what's going on, it could be really a Motzim Minas Mina, it could be a fantastic combination. So you don't normally see that the Balikriya do that, but you can see in many shuls where the Gabbai try to give those signals so that the Balkoria has an easier time of laying.
Who says it's the Balkoria?
Sorry?
Yeah, the
Karmim. Right, when he said Rashi, I'm assuming he's referring to Bal Koyre. Maybe Rashi means the people that are reading to themselves privately. But then maybe Rashi would use the expression Lomdim. So Koyrim sounds like the people that read it out loud. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. So the Gemara is saying now that that's another reason, because when they did, in fact, show those Tami HaMikra, those drop, they would do with their right hand, with the right finger, and therefore don't use the right hand for cleanup. So far we've had four reasons. The Gemara now is going to bring yet a fifth reason. Ketzanoi, it's Machlokes Tanoim. In other words, until now we referred to a number of Amay Roim, like Rova, Rabbi Bachana, Shimon Ben Lokish, Reish Lokish, etc. Ketzanoi, in the price we have Rav Lezer, Oymet Nisha, Oichel Ba, same reason we gave before, because of hygiene, because of being careful when one eats, you shouldn't have the schmutz on your fingers. Rav Shio, Oymet Nisha, Koyset Ba, because he writes with that hand, and the Meforshim add, he writes Chidush Torah with that hand. If he's writing Chidush Torah, Akasha, Teretz, Apilpel, Rebbe Kivegas, Akasha, Teretz on the Rambam, you don't want him to write it with Shmutz in your hand. So therefore, that's why you go and wipe with the left and not with the right. And Rabbi Akiva says the same time again, Mishnah Mara Ba Tami Torah, like we had before. So we have five reasons altogether. The first one is because the Kaddish Baruch Hu gave the Torah be amen, and then the other four is not because of Kaddish Baruch Hu, but because of us. What means because of us? Number one, the person eats with the amen, he writes with the amen, he is kosher the tefillin with the amen, and he Mara Ba Tami Torah be amen. What's the nafkamin in all of these? Obviously, what happens if you have a lefty? And there are quite a few of us that are lefties. And therefore, what do they do? How are they supposed to wipe? Are they supposed to wipe with the left hand like we have in our Gemara? So, in the Mishnah Berurah, it brings that since we have these five reasons, the first reason, l'chayra, applies to righties and to lefties the same. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Torah with his right hand. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is not a lefty. He gave down the Torah with his right hand. So that would be a reason that anybody that's putting that wiping should wipe with the left hand. However, the other four reasons, L'chayra, only apply to righties and not to lefties. A lefty presumably eats with his left hand, and that's the hand that you want to be sanitary when he's eating. He's writing with his left hand. That's why you want to make sure if he writes Chidushei Torah, he's not going to go and have a Shmutzik hand. When he's kosher the tefillin, he's kosher the tefillin on the right hand, so he uses the left hand for that. And finally, the Mara Batami Torah, if he's the Bal Koreh and does the signaling and showing of the Tamim like Rashi explained, so presumably if he's a lefty, he's going to do it with his left hand and not the right hand. And therefore the Mishnah Berurah paskins that a lefty in fact should go and wipe with the right hand and not with the left hand, because it's like four Tamim against one. The first Tam Tak applies to both. The other four applies the Chayr only to a righty and not to a lefty. There's a shailah among the poskim whether this also applies to women. Why would it not apply to women? For instance, the Indian of kosher but tefillin, they don't put tefillin on. They're not mara batame Torah because they don't normally lay. I guess privately they can learn the trap and do it, but that's not normal that you wouldn't expect women. So therefore, in fact, there's a machlokes whether women should or should not be makbid on this halach. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Zokti Gemara Yitzvayta. Omer Tanchem Bar Chani Loi, middle of the Omer, Kola Tznua Bebeskisei, whoever is very careful to be Tznua Bebeskisei, not to reveal and expose more than is necessary. Nitzel Mishloish Dvarim, that person will be saved from three things. What are the three things? Men Nechoshim, Men Akravim, Men Amazikim. Now, on the surface, you might think this is some sort of skula, that, you know, what did Gemara say? Kola Marach Betzilosem, Marichem Liyom Avishnoisev. So if you're Tznua Bebeskisei, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives up a special Shmira. But Rashi said this is much more practical. What means practical? So if you look at the Rashi towards the top, about 6-7 lines from the top, when it says over here tsunua, it doesn't only have to do with how much you cover and uncover, but rather also how a person conducts himself in a quiet manner or in a boisterous manner. So you see, mina nechoshim, mina krabim, mina mezikim, says Rashi, the mitoich tzniusai, since he's a person who's very modest in his conduct, misnaig benachas ubishtika. The person, by definition, is idle and he's quiet and he doesn't make a koil ra'ash godar. And therefore, when he goes into the Beis HaKiseh, and remember, we're not talking about the fancy Beis HaKiseh today that smell like a perfumery and that have the beautiful marble all over, and then in some homes is the nicest room in the house, but we're talking about in the outhouses in the good old days when people went out into the fields. There, of course, there were Nechoshim and Akravim and Mazikim, all types of wonderful things. So it says, Rabbi Numan, if you want to join us here at the table, you can. So it says, Ve'im Nechoshim Margishim Lizkanois Boy. And the Nechoshim, the snakes, are not even Margish. In other words, the Nechoshim are not, by definition, attackers that bite when they see someone. Oh, let's go and attack and let's go and bite. It's only if you are occupying and taking up their space. Like if you remember, we had the Gemara before, that normally Nechoshim are not dangerous, and that's the reason why if a person is davening Shemoneh Esrei and the Nechosh approaches, he doesn't have to stop. Scorpions, yes. The Gemara says, what about if you place a person into a bar with their Nechoshim? The Gemara says, Mishim Itzitza, because you are taking away their living space. Here too, their living space is in these outhouses. Their outhouses, those for them, though, that's their furnished apartment that they go and pay rent on because that's where they live in these Nechoshim. So if you go in nice and idle and you don't disturb them, they won't disturb you. And Nechoshim Margish Naskanapoy, that's not going to bother them. The Afa Mazikin Chosim Olavim, the Mazikim say, this is such an idle image, such as a fine, as a good sky. Why should I start up with them? I'll start up with one of those Hebrelas, you know, but this is a nice guy. Anyway, so the point is, if you're tenua, you're quiet, and you don't have to worry. Even his dreams at night are going to be pleasant dreams as opposed to nightmares. And the Rashi says the reason is because ein hamazikin mavhilin oisai. Back on daf nun hey amid beis, the Gemara told us that if you have good dreams, that those are from the malachim. If you have bad dreams, those come from the shindalids, the evil demons. So over here, if a person conducts himself in a nice, idle fashion, the mazikim say, I'll bother somebody else. What if this? I have to bother. This is a final idol, the bentoira, find a gutta, I'll find the shagits to go and cause trouble for us. Okay. Telting my whole base, there was a basic Tveri, that wasn't Tveri. Kihaba Aili Bay Trey, a Philibia Mama Mitsuki. It was one of those where the Mazikan had really set up shop. They were living there, and therefore don't disturb them. If you remember, we had back in the beginning of the Masechta Daf Gimel Amid Beis, normally Mazikim will only start up with a single individual, and not when two are coming together. But the Gemara said, if the Mazikim are actually living and they're local in that basic Kisei or in that area, then even two people will come in, they'll say, get out of here, you're now disturbing us, this is where we live, this is our residence, what are you doing here, you're a trespasser. So this basic case in Tveria, apparently the Mazikim had taken control, this was under their domain, even if two people went into the basic case at the same time, a Philip Yimam, even during the day, it's daylight, Mitsuki, unfortunately, they were nizik, they were damaged. So the Gemara tells us, Rabbam Bavasi, have the Ailibay chad lechudei v'loy mitziki. They used to go in single file, not together, one at a time, not single file, one at a time, and even during the day, and nothing happened to them. The Amris, the people were wondering, Abulur Abana, Linda Safiso, aren't you nervous? Aren't you concerned? Aren't you afraid? Everybody else in town, two people go in and they have to show them damage, and you're just going one alone and you're not nervous. Amri Lahus, they entered, Anan Kabbalah Gemarina. We have a Kabbalah that we will makabal from our Zaydis and from our Ovis and from our Revis. What is the Kabbalah? So we have two Kabbalahs. Kabbalah de Besakise, Tsiniyusa, Ushtikusa. You know how you're supposed to Fizachem Biskise, to be as quiet as possible and to be as idle as possible. Don't make a Kalrash Gudel. Try to go and do it very, very, in a very fine way. And this relates to that previous Gemara and the previous Rashi, that if you're not going to start up with a Mazikim, if you're going to be nice and idle and pleasant, then the Mazikim could say, I'm not going to bother with you, and everything will be fine. And that's why we went into Sneezhikus. In other words, we went quietly, silently, not with a big fanfare, without making any noise. And Kabbalah Yisuri Shtikus, we have a similar Kabbalah, when a person, Chas V'Shalom, gets Yisurim, also not to go and scream at the top of his lungs and make a big fuss about it, but rather take it quietly, like the Gemara said at the beginning of the Masechta, Yisurim Shalahava, Umiboy Rachmi, but of course, constantly bespal to Rabbi Nishloim, that he should try to ameliorate the effect of these Yisurim, if not remove them altogether. But don't make Agans Koil Rashkud. Now, the Gemara tells us some very interesting stories. It's preferable if two people can go, if you're talking about a beskisa, where you're concerned about possible mazikim, and for that matter, it doesn't have to be a beskisa. If you're going to a place where there are no people in that area, and you're concerned about possible mazikim, so you should always go, l'chadchil, at least two people together. Then what happens if you don't have two people? Then at least take along a behemoth with you. That's also two things. So Gemara tells us, Abaye Merabule Ime Imra. Abaye, his mother, whenever it says in the Gemara, mother in the Gemara about Abaye, it's not the real mother, it's the stepmother. Because Abaye, unfortunately, was a Yosin from both sides, from his father and from his mother. His father passed away when his mother was pregnant, so his father wasn't even there at the time of childbirth. And the mother Nebuch died in childbirth, just like we find by Rachel, Imenu, and Binyamin. So, Abaye was raised by a stepmother, and the Gemara refers to him as his mother because that's the only mother he ever knew. So, Abaye Merabule Ime, his mother raised for him Imra. Imra is like the word semer, which means wool, which in this case means a young lamb, because lamb has wool that it produces. So a lamb is called Imra sometimes in Chazal. And she raised such a lamb, lemeil badei lebeiskise. So whenever Abaye went to the beiskise, he took along the lamb. So it wasn't only Mary that had a little lamb, but also Abaye had a little lamb where he used to go and take along to the beiskise. Freit di Imara, okay, understand the reason why she did that, so that she should have a second, an escort, court against the mazikin. But frankly, well, why dafka lev? V'lav yilei gadya. Why shouldn't she have, for instance, given him a goat, a little baby goat, chad gadya? You could sing chad gadya on the way. So why is dafka a lev? Zaktimura soir v'soir michlef. What means soir v'soir michlef? So Rashi says that the mazikim of the Beis Akisei have the appearance like a soir, and therefore, and the Rashi brings a ray from a pasuk in Yeshaya that some of the evil demons, some of the shindalids, have the appearance of a soir. Usiirim yiraktu sham. Ah, so since they are called by the name soir, and dosu zachalena soir, so there could be some sort of quote-unquote confusion. I don't know if this is really physical confusion, but it could be that the mazikin look upon the soir as being kind of mishalanu, from our mishpucha, as a soir, yeah, so since it's one unzra mentioned, so the soir would feel comfortable, and he would not be at all stared by the fact that there's a gedi together with a baya, and so that would not be any protection for a baya. So, therefore, the mommy went and gave him a lamb instead of a baby goat. Sir, b'sor michlev. And Nimor tells us another fascinating story now about Rava. Rava mekamed dehav reisha. Rava, before he became the Rosh Yeshiva, mekarkisha lei basrav chizda am goize belakna. Because of the fact that basrav chizda, that's the wife of Rava, because Rava was married to the daughter of Rav Chizda, and now you'll hear from Barry who was the previous son-in-law of Rav Chizda,
Rami Bar Chama.
And after Rami Bar Chama passed away, that same daughter of Rav Chizda is now an almana, and now she married Rava, and that's based on the Gemara in the beginning of Masechtas
Bava
Basra, where the Gemara tells us that Rav Chizda had a daughter, and he pointed to Rami Bar Chama and to Rava and asked, which one of these two great people would you like to marry? And she said, I'd like to marry both of them. The Kachava, that she originally married Rav Bachoma, and then when he passed away, married Rav.
Rav said immediately, and I wanted to be second.
That's true. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, so the Gemara tells us that Rav, before he became Rosh Hashiva, when he would have to go to the outhouse, the Mekash Basuf Chizda, his wife, would go and take emgoiza. Emgoiza is an egoiz, is a nut, and she put it belakna. Rashi says lakna is a seifel. Seifel today would be a basin, so presumably it was a metal basin, and having this nut going back and forth in the basin was like a bell with a clapper in it. It made a lot of noise. As a result, she was hoping to ward away all of the evil demons, all the mazikim, that they should know, Rav is about to go to the bathroom, please make way and don't cause tsuris. That was before, one second, that was before he became Rosh Hashiva. Boss of the Malach, after he became Rosh Hashiva, now this is even a greater concern of the Shindalit, says Rashi. He needs a greater shmira because the Shindalit are mekanei betamidei chachamim. They have a kinna. They, unfortunately, they are jealous of Tamidei Chachamim, and they can go and cause trouble for them. And so therefore, Avdalei Kavsa, what she did was, she had the outhouse right in back of her kitchen, presumably. She made in the kitchen wall a nice window, and every time her husband had to go to the bathroom, Manchala Yodareshi, she would open up the window. She wouldn't go to the bathroom with him, but what she would do is, she would go and put her hand on top of Rava's head, as Rava is sitting there in the bathroom, so that vis-a-vis the mazikin, it should appear to be like two people, so that hopefully they're not going to start up with him. It's ironic in the Gemara, because the Gemara said before, to ward off mazikin, one should be as quiet as possible. To it bishtikusa, bitniusa, quite shashtil, not to affect the mazikin. And here, Rav is trying to ward away the mazikin by going and making a koy rashkul. That was probably your question, Rabbi Newman. Make a koy rashkul, and this was to ward them away. So, the easy answer is, since she was a woman, she didn't learn the daf. She doesn't know all of these halachas. On the other hand, it could also be that both work. In other words, if you make the standard regular noise when you go in and out of a bathroom, the mazik can say, oh, this is my living space. You know, what are you doing? And chas v'shalom, they can go and damage that individual. If the person is very, very idle, or if a person comes in with the chais, an atom bomb, and he really makes lots and lots of noise, and the mazik would say, I'm not going to start up with this guy. So apparently, she felt making lots of noise, that's more than your regular standard Beinoni noise. This is real Kodash Gadol, and therefore the Mazikim and the Chdishrechen, they'll be a little bit nervous and they'll go away.
Didn't she make the noise out of the bathroom?
And is that better or worse?
But in the bathroom you shouldn't make the noise. Maybe out of the bathroom you shouldn't make the noise.
See, Dr. Goldfarb is giving a second answer. And he's saying, making noise in the bathroom, that disturbs them, and therefore that's their living space, and they're going to be Mazik. But if you make it outside the bathroom, then it's okay. It's giving them a warning sign, so don't start up with Rav. Okay, come back. So, Try it out and you'll see what happens. Omer Ulam, Achoyre Geder Nifna Miyad Uvavika Kol Zman Shemetate Misatesh Ben Chaveiroi Shemea. Again, we're talking about outhouses, we're not talking about bathrooms in our homes, in our apartments, and therefore Ula says, Achoyre HaGeder, what happens if a person has to go to the bathroom, and he conveniently finds that there is a wall, there's a fence between the fields and between the Rosh HaRavim. So Nifna Miyad, as soon as he passes behind that gather, he doesn't have to go any distance. Shnell, go to the bathroom and finish. Machnishke Gantze Gerida. Even if one can hear him from the other side of the gather, Rosh HaRavim, okay, listen, people have to go to the bathroom. So you can be Nifna Miyad. Uvavika, however, if you're going in an open field and there are no mechitzas, there are no walls, called Zman Shemes Atish Bein Chaveri Shemeya. Go as far as you need to, so that if and when the person is going to the bathroom and he's making sounds from down below, Misatish normally means to go and sneeze. But here we mean a sneeze that's coming from the bottom as a result of defecating. That type of sound, make sure you're far away, that in Chaveri Shemeya this Chaveri doesn't hear. How far would that be? Think to yourself, a block, 2 blocks, 100 feet, 200 feet. You don't have to go very, very far. So he could still be seen by someone, as long as you don't hear the noise that emanates from him as he's going to the bottom. So that was the view of Ula. Isi Bar Nosson, however, was much more machmir. Masni Hachi. You can't just go behind the gather. You have to go some distance, so not only you covered as a result of the fact that there's a wall there, you have a machitza, but also nobody should hear. So you might have to go walk an extra block. It's not enough that you are out of sight. And if you happen to be in an open area, then you have to go far, 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 that your chaver shouldn't even see you. No, how many? Maybe that's already maybe 5 blocks. Maybe that's 10 blocks. Then the person can't go and see him because he's quite in the distance. Fake him or meisvei. Yoitz nitzav beis habad. The nifnin la'achoyri hageder. The heim tohoyrin. What is this all about? We're talking about, just like we have mashgichim today, we're talking about a person who was a mashgiach in yesteryear. And what was the hashgacha that he was giving? The hashgacha was that all of the shemen, all of the oil that's being produced in this Beis Abad, was done al taras hakodesh, totally tohar, so the kahanim don't have to worry. And if you want to bring it for kabbonis and for the Beis Hamikdash and for karbon mincha, you don't have to worry, because this mashgiach was very, very careful that everything was
shemen zayisach.
Shemen zayisach. Good. So what happens now? Every once in a while, even the mashgiach has to relieve himself. After all, they're close to malachim, but they're not malachim, so they have to go out. So niftan la'achoyri hageder, all they have to do is go out of the Beis Abad, find a nice convenient wall, go on back of that wall and back of the fence, and go. And then he quickly runs back to the Beis Abad, even though he was not there for the last 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, okay. You give him a bit of a break, and that's fine. But the question is, didn't we say, according to Isi Bar Nosson, it's not enough just to go achoyri hageder? You got to go kol zman shemesatish shvein chaveri shemeh. And that's already another 2, 3, 4, but whatever, at some distance. And here it says, no, just achoyri hageder, and you're done. So achoyri, we have a raya to Ula, but a kasha on Isi Bar Nosson. Everything human b'tahara is a kelu. Here you're talking about the need to have the tahara, and therefore we only have one mashgiach, we don't have multiple mashgiachim, and what are we supposed to do? We want to make sure that he gets back into the Beis Abad as quickly as possible, to make sure everything is al taras hakodesh. So therefore we make and say, okay, this person, as soon as he passes the chayyeh gather, let him pass the gas, let him pass with the waste, and run back in, so we don't have a problem with the taras. Toshima, kam yirchiku v'yu tohoyrin. Let's say the mashgiach is now going for a walk, and how far can he walk away and still that everything going on in the Beis Abad is still considered to be tahar? Kadesh Eriyahu. As long as he's still within eyesight, if he can still see the Beis Abad from wherever he's standing, you don't have to worry, you don't have to be concerned that people are going to make any monkey business, because after all,
Yotzei v'nichnas.
Yotzei v'nichnas. Oh,
okay.
This case now, Kami Yechiko?
No, but before, just that he should just go behind Gerer, so it doesn't have to distance himself from Gerer.
You're getting me just right in back of the Gerer, exactly.
So how can he see if he's behind Gerer?
And in the case of the Achor Yigeder, he doesn't have to see. This case is talking about he's just walking. He's not going to the bathroom. He wants to go out for a break. In the good old days, people used to go and smoke a cigarette. So he went out, and he's walking down a block or so, but he could still see what's going on, and that's fine. He doesn't have to be in the base of Bad 24 hours. He can walk out from time to time and take a look, as long as he's within eyesight. What do you mean within eyesight? We got a big problem over here. What happens if, for instance, the person had to go to the bathroom? So we said before that what's the halacha? Said it's got to be in a case where nithn lachoyi geder v'hein. What was according to Isa bar Nosa v'bika kolzman she'ein chaveroi re'eil. As long as he cannot be seen. So what does it have to do with us? If you look at the Rashi over here, kam yirchiku shomri taharis. This is parallel to our Gemara. Kam yirchiku shomri taharis. How far can they go? Kadei shehei re'eil. Kiven de'ein yochel lisrachik yoiser. Since he's not allowed to go beyond that kadei shehei re'eil, al korchach im hutzrach lefanois ifne. If that's the case, if that person, as he is walking out, if he needs to go and use the facilities, and there are no facilities, and there are no walls, then he's going to have to go maximum to a place where he is still able to see the Beis Chabad. Because if he goes anything beyond that, he won't be able to see it, and then his hashgacha will be flimsy, will be questionable. So he has to be able to see. But the problem is, if he's going to be nifna, if he's going to go to the bathroom at that time, didn't Isi ben Yehuda say he has to go far enough that nobody sees him? And here he's being merachek, and it's got to be kadesh shiriyeh. What happens if there is no fence over here and there's no wall, and he wants to be nifna? So then you're telling me that he can still be nifna as long as he can still see the base of Bat. No, according to Isi bar Nosson, it's not enough that he's still with an eyesight. He's got to be beyond eyesight that nobody can see him. But what's going to happen then? Then the whole hashgacha is going to fall away. And you can't tell the person, oh, don't go to the bathroom, you go tomorrow. You got to go. So it's going to be a problem. And for the same terrors again, Shani Oikli Taharis de Kilu Bu Rabban. Since it's so important that everything be a Taharis a Kodesh, here the Chum said that he can go to the bathroom even if he is within eyesight. Obviously, don't go right in front of the Beis Chabad. That'll really be an embarrassment. But you don't have to go that far so that you don't see the Beis Chabad. As long as you see the Beis Chabad, and even though your chaver can see you from afar, by Taharis they will make.
Is there any difference between the lashon of Taharis?
I was bothering me too. I didn't see anybody comment on it. It's the same. It's the same thing.
Okay.
Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi says, I have a better Taharis for you. My kolzman she'en chaver roya, dekoma isi manosa, kolzman she'en chaver roya as peruay. Of the day Chozile, when we said initially that Isi bar Nosson said, as long as your chaver can see you whilst you're going to the bathroom, it doesn't mean that he doesn't see the person. It means that you're far enough away that he cannot see the exposed areas of the person as he's going to the bathroom. So he could be 3 blocks away. You can still make it out. Oh, I see the Uncle Smith is sitting over there. I see him. But on the other hand, you cannot see the part that exposed because, after all, he is sitting, and that's not up front. It's down below. So as long as you don't see the exposed part, that's sufficient. Oh, so then that would work over here. It's easy when Austin says Yitaka have to go some distance that he shouldn't see the peruay, the part that is exposed. But you can see him. You can even wave to him. Oh, Yanko, I'll see you a little bit later. Yeah, etc.
And if he was closer and in the bushes and you couldn't see that, it would also be all right then.
Yeah,
right?
As long as that's like a chodiyah, as long as you have a machitza.
Right.
Good. Anyway, so therefore, that's how he was able to see and be seen. He was able to see the Beis Chabad, and the Beis Chabad people were able to see him, but they couldn't see Piroi, and that's okay. Now the Gemara tells us a somewhat interesting story. Sabdana, there was a saptan. Saptan means that a person who is now holding a eulogy, never for a mess. You have a mess there in the coffin, and the maspid is getting up. The noch has come to Rav Nachman, and Omar, he said, oh, I know the greatest mala that this person had. He was a very tznua. Ah, fine, an edel mensch. He was very tznua, very modest in the way he conducted himself. It's Omer Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, at Eilis Bahadil Beis Akise, Viyadis Itznua Eloi. Did you ever go and follow him in the Beis Akise to see how he fears, how he conducted himself in the Beis Akise? So you're going to tell me what's the importance about that? To finish in the Braise. Ain't Koyin Tznua Lamisha Tznua Beis Akise. You know what a tznua is? Someone who's tznua Beis Akise. If you don't know how he conducted himself in Beis Akise, even though in the Bismedish, and even though in Rishus Saravim, and his office, he was a tznua, but you don't know what's going on behind doors in the Beis Akise. So you have no right to go and give such a glowing eulogy about the tznius if you don't even know about the tznius. Everybody will smile, they'll snicker, they'll say, yeah. Well, why does he go and criticize the Saptan? It's very important. umina oinin acharehen. Was meint is? It means if chas v'shalom you have a masbid that says all types of wonderful shvachim about the mess, and this person he was constantly learning, and this person did masim tayv, and this person was honest, and he was scrupulous, he was meticulous. Ah, great guy, they're wonderful. Then upstairs in Shemayim they say, you hear Yankel Smith, you hear what they said about you. They say about you that you were honest. We have three cases where you stole some money. They said about you, learned Torah. We have many cases you were mavatl. They said you masim tayv, we see many times you did masim roim, etc. In the Frum and Mason, they say if that's the reputation that you had in this world, you didn't live up to your reputation, the Chas V'Shalom gets punished upstairs. As well as the Sabtonim that say Shkorim about the Mason, also they are punished. And not only them, those that listen and they nod, or they're, they say Amen, they become like Shemeh Ka'ina. We in the audience all become like Sabdonim. Says Rav Nachman, I'm doing this for self preservation. I'm not doing it because of the Masvid. Masvid, Deacons, Renegant, Tug, whatever you say, I really couldn't care less. But since it's attributed to me, to Oin Achrayim, that means that I'm also agreeing that he's a Tanur. I wouldn't say he's a Tanur unless I followed him in the bathroom. So that's why he was telling him, you cannot go and say that. And this is, by the way, a very important thing, that this is Nagiel Amais, and not so much about Tanias and the basic Kisei by Sabdonim, but the Masvid should go and try to hold the accolades to a minimum, not go and say about this person he was a tzaddik yisod olam, because if he wasn't, then upstairs, chas v'shalom, they're going to punish both the mess and the maspid and the, all the guys listening. Bozoktia.
So how, I'm not clear how he can be considered a tsnua if this person is following him and going into the, is this talk to the sasha?
Maybe the person was following him, it's not just such a tsnua, but the person was sitting in the bathroom, how do you conduct himself? I'm sorry? Yeah, that's true, if he's a Talmud, like the Gemara said before, but we're saying about that person himself, how do you feel? Was he tsnius or not? Good. Anyway,
so he visits the whole thing. They were Chayshos punched because they didn't or must be Yeshua, probably.
In many, many communities, especially among many Hasidim, they don't have any Hespedim at all, and then you don't have the problem. If you go into square,
should leave in his will.
And many people do. And if you come to in square, for instance, if the Levi is scheduled for 9 o'clock, if you're there 9:05, it's all over. It's already done. They just say one or two kapitel tillim, and they say, okay, we're going to the base of Chaim, and it's over. No hesvedim. You don't have this whole issue over here. Also, you get time back. You don't have to sit and Levi for 2 hours, having 12 people repeat the same thing again and again and again. Anyway, right, Tana Rabban, Eizon Tanua. What's a definition of tznius when it comes to the Inyan of Beis Akisa? Is a nifta b'leil b'makash nifta b'yayin. He goes to the same place at night that he goes beyond. Meaning that at night they didn't have street lights like we have today. So it's dark, dark, dark. So I would think that the person, he can go and be nifna anywhere, nobody would see. No, he's makbet to go, just like during the day, he goes many, many feet to many yards, whatever, till nobody sees him, nobody hears him, etc. That's this. A person should rather go and use facilities, in other words, relieve himself early in the morning before it's still dark, in other words, before Netzachama, and Arvis after Tzeizachom when it's already dark, so you shouldn't have to go so far. Meaning that if you do it at that time, then you don't have to go so far. Only during the day you have to go far that people shouldn't see, etc. So, but you just said now, it's new, isn't the Nifna Balayla Mokshin Fliyam? It's the same thing. How can you say during the day I have to distance myself, and if I do a Chachas V'Arvis, I don't have to go so far? So, and now I'm going to ask you from a real live case. Rava B'Yim Mama have a Ozel Ad Mil. When Rava had to go and excuse himself during the day, he would go even a mil's distance. Or B'Layla, at night, Omli L'Sham, he would go and say to his Shamas, Panuli Duchta B'Rechoyva D'Masa, find me an open area in the middle of the street where there's nobody passing, nobody's traveling, and I'll go over there. So you see, he wasn't Makbet Dafka in the same Mokum B'Layla, but Mokum Shenifna B'Yad. V'chein Omli Reb Zeyra L'Sham, Reb Zeyra said to his Shamas, Chazi Man D'Ika Choyra Beis Chavraya, go and see if there's a backyard in one of the Shchenim over here, D'Be'in L'Mifni, because I have to use the facilities, I have to go out to find some open area that nobody's there, there are no animals and no people, and let's go at night. So you see, you don't have to distance yourself b'mokim, like we said before. What means kiderach shenifna b'yayin? Just like during the day, one should be careful when one goes to the bathroom not to expose oneself more than is necessary. Rashi refers this back to earlier on in the Masechta that says you shouldn't be parayim more than tefach v'tzvachayim in the front and in the back. In other words, the minimum. So even at night, when it's dark, also only do the minimum. When we say mokum, we mean going around the corner. meaning that during the day, so that a person should not be seen, what would he do? He would turn the corner so that people that are on the other side, and presumably nobody's on the other side, so he'd go around the corner, nobody would see him, and then he'd be able to be nifta. So at night, also, you should do the same thing, even though it's dark and all the rest, go around the corner, because nobody's there, even though nobody can see, anyway. Go early in the morning and late at night, so you don't have a problem throughout the day. Same thing. Now the Gemara tells us another interesting thing. What is this all about? This is talking about a person who's trying to relieve himself, but unfortunately, either because of great constipation or because there's a schmutz there down below in the mokum of the rectum, the tzoya just can't get out. So what does he do? He tries to go and use he tries himself to try to work it out. So Rashi says he takes a tzror or a kisem. Tzror is like a rock, a kisem is like a... Today you wouldn't use a toothpick, today you'd use a Q-tip, so you have a little piece of cotton, but you're right, it's a toothpick or a splinter or something like that, and he tries to attack the problem down below, liftoyech nekodim, to go and open up the rectum to allow for a flow. So when should you do that, or how should you do that? Gemara says, mishamish mishev. Go and do this whilst you're sitting. That's when you start probing and trying to do it your thing, to a self-helping remedies to try to get the stuff out. Mishamish v'shev. First, do it standing. Before you squat, before you sit down, go and do the probing v'shev, and then sit down. V'alteishim v'mashmish, but don't do it first sitting, and then being v'mashmish. Why? Shkola yoshim v'mashmish, and filo oisim k'shof v'paspamim. For some reason, this attracts the interest of the kishuv people, that these the sorcerers that do kishuv, and even if they're doing kishuv in Aspami, which is far, far away, hundreds of miles away, boy, and all of that kishuv could have an effect on you if you're yoishim mashmish. The e inshi v'yosef the akach mashmish. What happens if the person forgot this piece of the daf? The person didn't chazer and he didn't remember, and he sat down and he started mashmish, and now he feels that the kishuv of the Aspami may come on him, so he should say the following lachash, the following incantation, to go and protect him from the effect of that kishuv. What is the takana? Kikoi. When he gets out of the bathroom, he stands up, Lemalki, you should say the following. Loili, loili. Stay away from me. In other words, you kishuv, you shouldn't have any shlita on me. And loitachim v'loitachtim. What means tachim? Tachim, says Rashi, these are names of kshofim who asuim al yidei tachdoinis. This is kishuv that develops as a result of a person having hemorrhoids. This somehow comes up as a result of that kishuv. So I don't want the tachim. I don't want the tachim. Get out of here. Loihani v'loit mehani. I don't want these, and I don't want even some of these. Loicharshi decharshav. Loicharshi decharashta. Rashi says two lines from the bottom. Last line, what means harsha de harsha? Loi machsheifes mechashiv zocher, for le machsheifes mechashiv nekeva. I don't want either a male or a female mechashiv or mechashiva. Get out of here. So a person makes this statement as a lachash, as an incantation, very strong statement. Hebra aros, I don't want you to bother me, and that hopefully will save him from the effect of that kishuv.
Sounds like kishuv itself.
Well, that's every time you have these types of lachash, they have that same type of ring to
it. I thought there was a thing about not using the foods of the Gemara because you don't know how to use them.
So in other words, we shouldn't do that today.
You're not allowed to.
Nobody's suggesting at the shir today that you have to be concerned about this when you sit down and when you're about the kishuv and the spamya. What we're doing is we're just translating the Gemara. Tanya ben Azai, yes, Rabbi Numan.
So all these things have to do with nitma. What about urination?
Well, I understand what you mean. As far as the mashmish part, that wouldn't be a concern, because normally you don't have to use a kisim or tzrar to get the urine out. I understand about the tzniyus. One should be tzniyus. However, the level is a little bit different, because we had earlier on in our masechta that if a person has to go and urinate, he can urinate even berabim, even in front of the king. Not that this is something that a person desires to do, but since they didn't have bathrooms like we have today, if a person had to go, it was a sakana if he didn't go, and so therefore avadi should try to cover up as much as possible, but you don't have the same degree of concern.
I was told in yeshiva that if one has to go, one has to go.
Mm-hmm.
And my Rebbe said in class, ninth grade, sub time,
yes,
that if you're on the subway and you have to go, go in between the cars and go to the bathroom.
Right. Okay, but today that's be quite dangerous because people have fallen off between the two cars. But in theory, he's right. But hopefully you don't have to come on to that. Tani ben Azay Oimer, Al Kol Mishkav Shchav Chutz Min HaKarka. One should go and lie down on any type of bed, but don't lie down on the ground. And the Yad, Rabbi Yanka Vemna, says it back anymore because of a concern that he might catch cold. Because the ground is cold, and in the winter, a person can go and develop a flu, he can go and get a coronavirus, he can get all types of tsuris. Don't lie on the ground. And the Rabbi Yaakov Emden himself asks, L'chari, this goes in the face of the Mishnah Perkei Avos, where it says that, what's the darkish l'toira? Al-Oretz Tishon, you should go and lie on the ground. Al-Oretz Tishon, here it says, you shouldn't lie on the carpet. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, here it's talking about with a blanket or with clothes, so therefore that will insulate him from the cold. Al Gemara is talking about he's going without the pajamas, he's on the ground without anything. Chas v'shalom, he can catch cold. Al Kol Moishev Shev, you can go and sit down on any type of seat. Chutz min HaKarka, be careful, don't sit down on a beam, because says Rashi, Shematipo, you might fall off the beam, so push it, just be careful. When you're sitting down on a chair, you're sitting down on a bench, make sure it's secure and stable, so you're not going to fall down. Amishmul, Shina Bamud HaShachar, Ki Istma LaParzla. Yitziba Amud HaShachar, Ki Istma LaParzla. Shina, a person is sleeping until Amud HaShachar, but not later, istima leparzala, that is a good omen. It's like, istima is like steel, leparzala for barzal for iron, that it protects the iron. So it's sleeping until Amud HaShachar is a good dezach. Don't get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, but don't sleep until 9 o'clock in the morning. Shin until Amud HaShachar, that's good. Yitziba Amud HaShachar, a person should relieve himself at Amud HaShachar time, early in the morning, and that's also gistim leparzal, that's also good for the system, again like steel is for iron. Bar Kapora of Mizbin Mili Bedinri. Bar Kapora had some very nice and wise messages, and that was called Mili, words that he would say, words of wisdom, and he would go and sell them Bedinri. They used to have an expression, a penny for your thoughts. Here it's a dinner for these Milim, for these very worthwhile expressions. He would go and say, Adakafnis, once you're hungry, achoy. Don't go and say, okay, I'm hungry, I'm going to eat later on. Eat now when you're hungry, go and eat. Adatachas, when you're thirsty, shasi, drink now. Adarischa kadarcha. This rischa kadarcha literally means that your pot is cooking, but here it means that your digestive system is cooking, meaning that you have to use the facilities. Shvoich, go to the bathroom. Don't hold it in. Okay. Karna karya beroimi bar mazbin te'eni te'eni de avuch zaven. If you hear some advertisement or you hear rumors that in Rome there is a market where they are now selling te'enim for people that are te'enim buyers and traders and travelers and sellers and all the rest, there is a te'enim market. You, the son of a te'ena owner, if your father is not around, go and take the figs of your father and zoven, go schnell and sell them in Rome, because if there's a hot market, this is the time to sell. Don't say, well, father will come back in a week from now. In a week from now, there may not be a market anymore, and these te'enim might only be worth half the amount that they're worth today. So, schnell, go and sell. Amu Abayi L'Rabban. When a person is going in Shvila de Mechoyza, in the alleyways of Mechoyza, to go out to the Chakla, to the fields, for purposes of going to the bathroom, don't look on either side. Just go straight ahead, like with blinders, and just go straight ahead. To Miyasvi Nashi, because maybe women, on the side there's another girsa, Inchi, people, may be also doing the same thing that you are going to do. In other words, other people also know to go out to the fields, to go out to the bathroom, and they may be on the right or on the left. It's not derech eretz to look at other people going to the bathroom. So when you're going, just go straight ahead. Don't look to the right, don't look to the left. Rav Safra, Olavei's Kisa, Rav Safra went to the bathroom. Also, Rav Abba, Nochalei Abba. We had this Gemara already before. Had this Gemara back in Masechtas Tumid. The Gemara now repeats it again. That Rav Safra was in the bathroom. Rav Abba wanted to go into the bathroom, and he didn't know whether anybody is there. So what did he do? Nochale above. Nochale doesn't mean that he knocked on the door, but rather he coughed and made kind of a snorting sound to see whether anybody would respond on the other side of the door. Is Amalei Rav Safra, instead of coughing back or saying something, he said, Leomar, come to Rhein, you can come here into the bathroom. Apparently there were two stalls with enough room for both of them, and said, come on. Or maybe he was just about to leave. And he busted the Novak after he left from the bathroom. Amalei, so now Rav Abba was a little perturbed that Rav Safra spoke to him in the bathroom. So he said to him, Ad hashtali, Ilis Seir, you have not reached Seir yet. In other words, you have not traveled to Edoim, which is compared to Seir. The Gamlis Chamila the Seir, and you're learning from their Minhagim. In other words, you're acting in such a prusta way, you're speaking in the bathroom. Lavachitran, don't you remember we learned in the Mishnah in Mesechtas Tamid, this is talking in the Beis HaMikdash, that Madura Hoyse Sham, or Beis HaKise Shel Kovod, that there was a special room where there was a big fire. Over there, he's talking about a person that went to the mikveh, for instance, and now he's drying out. So there was a nice fire to warm himself up, and also that gave illumination. And there was a besikisa shel kavod that was there. And so sometimes people, even today, they call a besikisa a beta kavod. Why was it called a besikisa shel kavod? The zayu kavodai. That motzei no'ul, if a person wanted to use the facilities, and he saw that the bathroom was locked, somebody's inside. But if it's open, so we see it's not derech eretz for people to converse or say something when they're inside the bathroom. Otherwise, people would knock and you'd say, I'm here, I'm not here, I'm coming out, I'm staying in, whatever. You don't talk in the bathroom. So why did you go and say, come on in? I think that that's terrible the way you conducted yourself. And Rav Safra thought, Mesukanu, that maybe that person who wants to go into the bathroom, he has to go to the bathroom immediately. So I'm not going to go and start snorting and coughing and trying to send him the hand signals and this and that. I told him directly, you can come in. The sign of Shimon Gamliel Oymer. Omer HaChoyzer, maybe it's a Odomli Day Hadroiken. Silan HaChoyzer, maybe it's a Odomli Day Yerochen. Omer HaChoyzer and Silan HaChoyzer are related. Omer HaChoyzer is referring to a person who's holding himself back from Gidoilim, Chas Hashem, that could bring a person to an illness called Hadroiken. The art scroll translates Hadroiken as dropsy. I'm not exactly sure what dropsy is, but it doesn't sound like a friendly type of thing. So therefore,
cause the stomach to swell.
Cause the stomach to swell. Oh, Shkoyach. Silan HaChoyzer means a person who holds back urine when he has to urinate. Maybe it's only Deirokin, Chas Hashem, his face is going to turn colors, and specifically to possible jaundice. So neither of these things are good, and therefore Rav Safra said, if someone says, I gotta go, and he's snorting and coughing, I figured, come on in! I don't want you, Chas Hashem, to get to dropsy, which Arab Simcha tells us means the swelling of the stomach. Rav Loza Olavei Sechis, Rav Loza went into the bathroom, Osahu Reimo'o Dochke, a Roman person came by, and he said, Rav Loza, get out of here. I need this bathroom now, and make you get out. So Rav Loza wasn't going to fight with him. Come Rav Loza, nothing. He put on this, he pulled up his pants, and he left. Guess what happened? Also, Darkoina, a snake came, shamte the karkishay, and went and pulled down the bottom of the rectum of this Edomite, of this Roman sitting there, the one that he ejected Rav Loza, and therefore now put him into sakana, that he lost that, and it must have been very painful and dangerous and all that. Karli Rav Loza, so Rav Loza afterwards, when he found about the story, he said, that's Mekayim the Pasuk, the etain odam tachtecha. Hashem says, I'm going to put a person there instead of you. Atikri odam ela edoim. This Edomite, this Roman, he now took my place, took my seat. If I had been sitting there, the snake might have caused me damage. Ah! Kadosh Baruch Hu paid him on the spot. He was up to Rabbi Numan.
These stories about the Zamorin in the bathroom. They're sitting by themselves. We learned you're not supposed to be what?
Only if you're a place of mazikim. If it happens to be, that's in rural territory. If it happens to be in an urban setting where lots of people, then the mazikim tend to go away. Right. So now we're going to get to a couple of stories. It's first going to start about the inyan of tznius in the bathroom, but then it's going to get into more stories about David and Shaul HaMelech. As you all recall, while Shaul was king, there was a tremendous following that David had, and Shaul was very upset about that, and therefore Shaul wanted to go and kill David HaMelech, and therefore there was a war between Shaul's faction and David's faction. And it says a couple of times that David had tremendous rachmanis on Shaul, and each time he could have killed Shaul, but he didn't. And the first pasuk tells us, the Omer Hargecha, Latochas Alecha. This is a message that David HaMelech is sending to Shaul. What he's saying is that originally my initial thought was to go and kill you because I had free reign. I knew where you were. But I had Rachmanis on you. And the Gemara is bothered now about the diktuk. It should say, the Amartin, I said to myself, says David HaMelech, that I was going to go and kill you. And then it says, it should have said that I had Rachmanis and I didn't kill you. Why did it say, the Omar, why did it say, Vatochas? Minatoira, you are deserving of Misa, I should have killed you. Sharoi de fatu, because you're running after me. But if somebody wants to kill you, you're allowed to go and take preventive medicine and preventive measures and go and kill the person at event. So I could have. That's the Omar, that's the Torah said, not I said. The Torah says, I could have killed you. Because of the fact that I heard that you're so tsunua when you go to the Beisaki say that because of that you chasalecha. The Torah and I had Rachmanis on you. My you, what tzdius did he see about Shaul? Tachsev v'yovei lechem el gidrei satzoyin al haderech v'sham ma'ora v'yovei Shaul l'hasech es raglav. He went to ma'ora into a cave. L'hasech es raglav is a nice euphemistic term to mean that he went to defecate, that he went for gedolim in the Beis HaKisei. And we learn that the Braisa says, David HaMelech, Tona, geder lefnim min geder u'ma'ora lefnim min ma'ora. When Shaul went to relieve himself, he didn't just go smack in the middle of the cave over there, but he went into a cave within a cave and a fence within a fence. In other words, he has multiple mechitzos so that he should be enclosed, that he should not be seen. So because of that great tzlius, I had rachmanis on you because that's a big midah toifah. And in fact, Imura adds, why did it say l'hasech es raglav? The word l'hasech itself, he covered himself like when they got into sukkah. It doesn't say the sukkah decorations. But the point is that he covered himself very, very well, as if you're going to sukkah, covering from all sides. Yes?
It makes sense he would take extra precautions. He's the melech. The melech should have extra cover. It's not just a stomp.
Or it could be that the king could say, Yedaros, everybody get out of here. I have to use the facilities now, and everybody should move away 50 feet, and I'm going to use this cave all by myself. No. You can stay in the cave, but I'm going to build a machitza here in the front, and the back, and the this, and no. Right. V'yakum David v'yachreis es kenafim ila shel shol. Balot. David HaMelech wanted to tell Shaul, I'm not just talking empty statements that I could have killed you and I had Rachmanis. He gave him a simon. What was the simon? That he cut off the corner of his me'il, of his garment. And therefore, when Shaul afterwards saw that his garment is missing a shtikala, I know what happened. That's David HaMelech talking, that he took a shtikala of his garment to show that he could have killed him. Anyway, even though this was a very nice gesture on the part of David HaMelech, that he didn't kill Shaul, however, he didn't have to go and cut off part of his garment. Look, he could have left him a note and say, this is your friend David HaMelech, I just came by to visit you and to wish you well. But he didn't do that, he cut off the garment. Anybody's a mavazis begonim, even though it was for a good, well-intentioned purpose. So if any nehenim mehem, unfortunately, it's mida keneged mida, if you're mavazis begonim are now going to be mavazis you. Shenemar, b'melech dovid zokim v'yamim, v'yechassu b'begonim, they put on all types of begonim, l'yechem lo, he wore 12 sweaters, but he was still cold, it didn't help him. And the passage continues on. David HaMelech again is speaking to Shaul. However, he speaks in a way which was unbefitting David HaMelech vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's saying, "Im Hashem Hesischa, if Hashem has caused me to be incited, be against me. Im Hashem Hesischa be. If Hashem has incited me from Lashem Mesis Umadiyah, Hashem has provoked, Hashem has incited me against you, Yorach Mincha. I want to still send you a present, and I didn't go and kill you." So says the Gemara, Amr Blaza, Amr Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu heard David HaMelech says that Hashem Hesischa, I'm a Mesis Karisali. You call me a person who provokes, who incites? That's not nice. It's not a nice expression. I'm going to be machshul you, David HaMelech, but David shall feel it. I'm your noisai. With such a simple halacha that even children know it. Not this week's parasha, but the next week's parasha. Exactly. What is that pasuk tell us? That you're not allowed to conduct a census by counting people 1, 2, 3. You can only count them through the koyf nefesh, through the giving of machtas a shekel, and that's the makar why today when people don't count, they go and say shias amecha, so that you don't have this problem of counting people individually. Anyway, so says the Gemara that Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "I'm going to machshel you in that din." What was the mechshel? That as we'll see, the Yad Vayamid Satan Al Yisrael, because Rebbe Hu sent the Satan on Yisrael to David HaMelech, who said, but Yosef says, David Behem Leymar, he convinced, he incited David HaMelech, the same Russian of being Mesis, David Leymar, Leich Manei Yisrael, go and count up Kai Yisrael. And, Bikim de Meninu, the Shachim Benayu Kaifer. When he did count him, unfortunately, he did not remember the lesson from the Torah that you're supposed to take, the Kaifer Nefesh, meaning the Machsis HaShekel. Uksiv, as a result, David HaMelech made such a census, and he counted them 1, 2, 3, and guess what happened? Baruch Hu brought a terrible plague of pestilence of Dever to Klal Yisrael from the morning until Eis Moed. And although the Gemara doesn't quote the Pasuk, but the Pasuk in Melachim says that 70,000 people passed away during that period of time, not because David HaMelech's mistake that he was Mesis, it's because of their own sins. However, since David HaMelech over here was Chayiv because of the fact that he called the Kodesh Baruch Hu Mesis, so therefore he was the trigger that caused all of these people to die during a short period of time. It was Boiker at Eis Moed. Now the question is, my Eis Moed, what does Eis Moed mean? A very short window that every morning the first carbon that you bring is a carbon tamid. Shortly thereafter you have to do the zrika. From the time of the shchita to the zrika, theoretically could have taken seconds, minutes, hours, whatever it was. Until that time, during that short period, that was the death. I'm sorry?
Not hours.
Why not hours? You can have a Zrika Saddam the entire day.
Yom Kippur, they stir it, so it doesn't congeal.
I understand, but
what was the maximum amount of time? Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Ad Chatzos Mamish, because by the time it's Shachar, you're not supposed to be Zrika Saddam Lichatchila after Chatzos, but you can wait until Chatzos. So even though he brought the card at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they brought numerous kubanas in the meantime, you don't have to do the Zrika Saddam immediately. You can have somebody going and stirring it up, and wait until Chatzos. So that's the final time, if you will. And that was the Eis Moed that the Pasuk is talking about. That's how long the Dever lasted.
You can offer kubanas before the Zrika Saddam of time. You can offer other...
So it appears. We mentioned we're soon going to get back to Kachim another 5 years. We'll see if any of the Gemara can take that. So the Malach that was Mashkes Ba'am, that Malach over here. So now the Pasuk says about the word Rav. We have the benefit of the Torah Ora Sholim, so we should look at Ois Chof over here. V'yishlach Yoreh Malach V'yishloim L'shachas V'yinocham Hashem Al-Ro V'yim L'malach Mashkes Ba'am Rav Ato Heref Yodcha. Rav Ato, you've done already a lot of damage. Heref Yodcha, now stop. Now, what's this lotion of the Rav Ato? See, more darshins from this Rav. In addition to the 70,000 Nebuchadnezzar that have already passed away, I want you to go and take a Rav. That was lotion of. For those of you that were not convinced about the Shivim Elef, about the 70,000, if you look back at the Pasuk Yud, here in the third Ora Shalem, says the Yitam Hashem Devar BiYisrael. We are talking about Eis Moed, what we quoted in the Gemara. But Yomus Menahom Midon Bad Ber Shava Shivim Elef Ish. During that short period of time, from the Shchit until the Zrika, or Shchit until the Chatzois, during that half an hour, 5 minutes, 3 hours, whatever it was, 70,000 people never passed away. Anyway, so Kodesh Baruch Hu said, but that's not enough. I want you to go and take the Rav Ata. Who's that Rav? Says the Gemara, find the Rav Behem Shiesh Bele Parah Behem, Kama Choyves, with one individual to be able to go and be Yoitza many, many people. As Bais Hashem, Meiz Avishai Ben Tzruya, then the Malach decided on Avishai, that's the brother of Yoyev Ben Tzruya, Avishai Ben Tzruya, he killed him, and Sheshach Karubish Al Sanhedrin, he was as great as the Roiv, Sanhedrin is 70, 71, so he was like Roiv of them, like 36 people. That's the Rav Kiroy Shel Sanhedrin. That was the person that passed away. Ubahashkas Rashem Bayinochem. After all this Hashkas, Kodesh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis, and he said, stop, no more Dever, end. Now it says, Ro'o Hashem. My Ro, what did Hashem see that he decided, okay, Dever, stop, Eis Moed, no more? So Yimor now says a number of references to Ra'a. Amarav Ra'a Yaakov Vino. He remembered the schus of Yaakov Vino. It says by Yaakov, Yemei Yaakov, Kasher Ra'am. So there it says Ra'am, here it says Ra'a, as Ashtikul Gzeir Shava. That's what he saw in the schus of Yaakov. Shmuel Lama Afreshal Yitzchak Ra'a, Shenem Ve'elikim, Yira Lo Yaseh, by the Kedis Yitzchak. That's Yira. Again, Re'ir. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar Kesek Kippurim Ra'a. He saw the Kesek Kippurim that were given at the original time, in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, Shenem Ve'kachas Kesek Kippurim, Me'ez B'nai Yisrael. Now, here the Gemara hasn't quoted any Ra'a, any Re'ir. However, the end of that Pasuk is, again, Oy Samach, V'kachas Kesek Kippurim, Me'ez B'nai Yisrael, V'nei Yisrael, V'nei Yisrael, L'zikara, L'vnei Hashem. This should be a remembrance before Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, now I remember that Kesef Kippurim that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's Hus. Sorry? Even though you didn't do it now, I have that zikaron from them. Rav Yochanan Omer Beis Hamikdash said, Har Hashem Yirah. Har Hashem is referring to Beis Hamikdash Yirah, again a lashon re'iyah. Pligi Rav Yaakov Bar Idi Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Had Omer Kesek Kippurim Ra, like we just said now, the zikaron. Had Omer Beis Hamikdash Ra, like we just said now, Har Hashem Yirah. Omistavik Mani Omer Beis Hamikdash Ra, Hashem Asher Yomer Hayoyim, Har Hashem Yirah. If you look at Rashi in the Chumash, Asher Yomer Hayoyim, Hayoyim says Rashi means Hayoyim in Bechol Dor Vadar. In every generation, a person should go and remember and say today, oh, I remember the Akedah Yitzchak Bahar Hashem Yiroah, the Kodesh Baruch Hu appeared at that time, mit the Akedah, mit the Afresh of Yitzchak, mit the Seh, mit the Gansi Gishav. So Yom HaYom is not at that time, in the time of Akedah Yitzchak, but that HaYom means every day, every year, in future generations, in future years. And that's this time now, in the time of David HaMelech, that's the HaYom now. Right, stay at the end of the Mishnah. The Yikonis Onam HaHarabayis B'Makli. A person should give tremendous derecherets to the HaHarabayis, and he shouldn't go up to the HaHarabayis B'Makli with his shtekin and not make it a kapandria. Pregim Amai kapandria, Vusmei kapandria, Marav a kapandria kishma. A kapandria is a kapandria. What does a kapandria mean? It means a shortcut. And the Gemara told us now, where does the word kapandria come from? It's a Rosh HaTevis. Rav Chunin Bar Adam, Shmeid Rav Samba, Mishreit Rav Imam, Mary, Omar Kimandi Omar Inish Adam Akifna Adori Eyal Baha. That the word kapandria is combined from the word adam akifna, take out the kuf pei from that kuf pei nun from adam akifna, and then add the word dori, and then add yud aleph from eol, and that's the word kapandria, which means adam akifna adori, instead of having to go around and around, makifna from lashon hakofa, instead of having to go room and a room, adori, around old, a whole bunch of shurais, a whole bunch of aisles, a whole bunch of, yeah, I'm just going to go straight to Matada shortcut, so you shouldn't have to go to him. So I take a shortcut. So that's how the word kapandri comes. So don't use the harabais for kapandri. Rav Nachman Amar Abavua, Anichlis Lebeis Knesset, Amanashvili, Lesois Kapandri, Mutlesois Kapandri. You have the same halacha that applies to a shul. Person has to go to the other end of town, and he wants to go through the shul because that would be a convenient shortcut. Don't go through a shul as a shortcut unless you have another reason for going to the shul. So if he goes, I'm an Ashley Lesoisa Kapandria, but rather to go and do another Dvar Mitzvah, that's why he's going in, then that's okay. Since you're not going for Prince Kapandria, you went to Dvar Mitzvah, you finished, then you can go and continue on and do a shortcut. In other words, you don't have to go back the same way that you came in. What happens if this shul was built on a shvil that was used previously by the rabbim, so it's a shvil that rabbim were koine to go and use for a passage, you had no right to go and take it away, and so therefore you can continue using the kapandria just like it was used prior to the construction of this shul. A person goes into shul to daven, mutla says kapandria, you're allowed to go and make him kapandria. Mafarshim asked, you already said 2 lines ago that if you went in for Dvar Mitzvah, you're allowed to go and use the Kapandria. So certainly if you're going to Shul to go and Daven, you can go and use the Kapandria. So in fact, there's another girsa here of the Aleph of the Gra, not that it's Mutter, but it's a Mitzvah to make it a Kapandria. But what do you mean it's a Mitzvah? Shenema u'bavoy amar. So now, to understand the b'voy amar, we have to look at Ois Pei, where it gives you a very, very, today we'd say a viral description of what it looked like during the times of the Sholei Shigol. So it always paid down below. Ubevoy am aris of Ne'ashim amayadim. When it came to the Sholei Shigol, haborach haboch derach shar tzofay neishtachway. It's a person who came up to the Harabais in Beis Midrash on the shar tzofay to bow down. Yeitzik derach shar negev. He came in shar tzofay, but he goes out shar negev. V'haboch derach shar negev. Yeitzik derach shar tzfayna. He came in through the south. He goes out the north. Lo yashiv derach hashar shebavoy. Ki nichcho yeitzik. You should not go out the same way that you came in. You should have to go a different way. What's the reason why? So that you should go and enjoy the Beit Harabais and the Beis Hamikdash, and not just try in and out, you know, Yotzei Tzedam, but you should go all around and to be part of it. So therefore, if you're going into shul to daven, it's a good thing not to immediately go back on the same place that you came in, but go to the other end of shul as if to say, oh, I'd love to go Shiv Deveis Hashem Kol Yemechayai Halavai, I can stay in the shul even longer. And that's why you're going more than your Dalai Lama, you're going further, even in the other direction. Anyway, Urakika Mikal Bukhaim, it says in the Mishnah, make sure don't do Urakika, don't spit out on the Harabais. Umrabibi, Umrabi, sure, then Levi, Kalarokim, Harabais, Mazmanazeh, whoever spits out Mazmanazeh on the Harabais, Kilarokim, Vasenai, it's Chasishon, Kilu, as if he spits into the eye of the Rabbi Nishlam Kaviyoch. Shinem, Bahoyu, Enai, Velibi, Shom, Kaliyam, Kinshboko says that my eyes and my heart are there in the base of English even today. So if you spit on the Harabais, Chasishon, you're spitting in the Kinshboko. In a shul, you're allowed to go and do rakiki, you're allowed to go and spit, meaning to have a minnah, just like wearing shoes. And our Mishnah says, you know, to wear shoes on the harabais. So, my minnah, the harabais also, the basic anasis, the harabais also, the basic anasis is shari. A nice dimion to the middle. It's don't go and learn from a minnah a heter and say, just like in the basic Middash, you're allowed to have minnah. But you're allowed to have middle and a shul. So you can't go and do a kick on the basement, but you can go and do a kick in a shul. Go and learn for Kapandria. Just like with Kapandria. Yes, the Sheikh. Yeah, fine. Just like Kapandria, it says that you are not allowed to make a shortcut in basic English, and you're not allowed to make a Kapandria in a shul unless you have to daven or something else. So say the same thing. You can't spit in the basement. You can't spit in the shul. Unless you say the mean the harabais. So you can't spit in the shul. I didn't go and make this reference to middle on my own. To stretch in the brace. My he pushed in the brace the sign. He could have told the Harabais, but he shouldn't go to the Harabais. The Makle should be out and out with his shtekin. The Levin Manali should be ragli not wearing shoes. The Levin Boy said, Shroom, Levi, Sadino, Vodossi, Michelle, Zachoyer. And he shouldn't go and carry money either in his sadin, in some sort of sheet. And he shouldn't go and carry it, Vodossi, in his money belt, even if it's towards the back. The Levin said, a Kapandri, he shouldn't make a Kapandri, that shortcut. Or a Kikim, a Kabachoymer, me min al. What's the kabbalah min al? My min al shame by derech b'zayin. Walking with shoes, that's not a derech b'zayin. That's normal. Om betoy shal nech me al reglecha b'kiyam mo koyim is admas koyishu. Take your shoes off. Rekika she derech b'zayin to go and spit out. Chiyodah lekoshel davad davad. It's aser in the harabais. Oh, so you see that the rekika, the issur for rekika, we learn from min al. Oh, so just like taka on the harabais is taka aser, but since min al is permitted in a shoe, so the rekika is also permitted in a shoe. The guys for you to I made it tough. You don't have to learn it from him. How do you have another pasuk in Lo Boy El Shalamel Huvishtok? That's of course we are now almost in the time Purim time. Shkayach. It's already mentioned Nichlasada. So don't go B'Shalamel Huvishtok. But the Rakom Kavuchaim Masach Sheni Moishlami Basvadam. Going and wearing a sackcloth, okay, it's not, you know, it's not an exciting suit, it's not that beautiful, but it's not most of the pasudam. Kachar kikashi mu'us of the melamal, like a shkosh and chavad and avada. So malach that you're not allowed to go and wear levush sock before the melach, even though wearing it to shul, people look a little bit funny, but it's not a miastik as ach, but don't do it in front of the melach. Rekika, which is miast, chavad, and nikot vorch. Amalei, ani achika amina. When I asked you about learning for Kapandia, I meant the following. I meant to say, be machmer in both directions. And the aima. Harabai is the awesome minnow, lel for minnow. Fine. I agree to what it says in the Braisa. It says in the Braisa that you're now going to walk with minnow in the harabais. So, kal v'choymer, don't do rekika. I agree. Our basic anasis, the shori of minnow, why are you saying the basic anasis that it's mutter minnow, and therefore mutter rekika? And yad of minnow, ula heter, nail me kampan jivalasar. Go and say, here a chumra as well. A chumra in the harabais, we learn from minnow, don't go with shoes, don't spit. Now, in the shul, don't make a shortcut, and therefore don't spit v'lasar. Hello, Marava. Ki beisai. Ma beisai kapandria kapaninish. Arakika minol le kapaninish. A beisai knesset kapandria de osur. Rakika minol is shari. Rava says that you look upon the beisai knesset like an extension of your home. And just like at your home, you would not want travelers to go and say, oh, I discovered that if I walk through your living room, I have a nice shortcut to my house on the other side. You can't go and do that. Ma beisai kapandria kapaninish. A person would be very concerned. What are you doing? You make a shortcut through my house. Arakika minol le kapaninish. But people are not makbid. Of course, today people are not so such spitters like they had years ago.
But they used to have spittoons in the back of shoes. Yeah, exactly. People would come spion just to spit at you in the davening.
Exactly.
In
Aleinu. They would go and spit out of it. Right. Yeah, the many still have the custom. Anyway, but people are not makbid on spitting as well as people are not makbid if you walk into my house with shoes. In fact, I prefer you wear shoes. If you take the shoes off, who knows what foot odor you might have. At least the Knesset. Kapam Yehudi Yasser, that's Yasser. But the Kikar Minel is Shari, and so therefore, bottom line, it is permissible after all. Have a wonderful day. Bracha Vatzlacha Zagida.